In 1 Corinthians, I want us to start reading at verse number 12 out of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Please stand. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. I pray God might bless you, blister you, touch you, strengthen you, encourage you, lay hands on you. Amen. Praise God. God lay hands on you. I don't have to touch you. Praise God. He knows how to do it. And I praise God for it. Thank God for the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12 said, "Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" You wouldn't believe it'd be somebody to say that, would you? But they are. Amen. The Bible said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." Amen. Because He's the first fruits. By the way, He didn't rise from the dead. Nobody else could get out of the grave. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Look over at verse 42. The Bible said, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." Praise be unto God. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us divine, holy wisdom. Lord, take a live coal off the altar of God. Lay it upon these old tongues of flesh. God, I pray that we might be able to speak as we wish we had. We stand in the judgment of God. Lord, I pray we'll speak as a dying man to a dying congregation. Lord, move on our hearts to say that which needs to be said. Lord, put it on our hearts to say, Lord, what You want to bring forth. But I pray You'd guard our mind and our heart from saying something, Lord, that You would not want us to say at this time. But I pray, God, that You might move in a direction, that You might touch hearts and lives. If there's one in this building, Lord, right now, that's not saved, that's never trusted Christ, Lord, has never repented of their sin, never been birthed into Your family, I pray this would be the day that You'd speak precious words to their soul that they might hear the truth and, Lord, come to You in the knowledge of a Savior God by faith. And I'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor that You're going to do. For it's in Jesus' blessed and holy name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. I thank God. Amen for the Word of the Lord. Now think about the resurrection for a minute. The resurrection is a fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Amen. Now there's still some that's in the future. It hasn't happened. But brother, when we come to the resurrection, when Jesus got up on that third day, victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. I want you to know, brother, He had fulfilled all Old Testament promises or prophecies that He was coming. The Old Testament is filled with promises that He would come. And brother, His resurrection proved that He did. Now I want to say this morning, even though the Jews deny the fact that, hey, they may not tell you anything much about it, but they do not accept Him. And they did not accept Him. The Bible said He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But I'm glad He goes on a little step further and said, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." Them is me and you. Praise God this morning. I'm glad that we have that right to be called a child. Amen, of the Heavenly Father. Now I want to give you this. In the Word of God, not only is the promises fulfilled and the prophecies fulfilled, but I want you to know that, brother, our preaching this morning has been, and the reason for it is because of the resurrection. We're going to study this in just a minute. There'd be no reason to come to the house of God. There'd be no reason for any preaching. There'd be no reason for you to study the Bible. There'd be no reason for you to pray had Jesus not rose from the dead. Is that right? Amen. All the infidels and the infrahels, they deny the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Many will tell you that it did not happen. They'll say it's a figment of the Christian's imagination. Hey, can you think about this? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, hey, when they took Him down off the cross, and Nicodemus came out there and helped with it and put Him in Joseph Arimathea's new tomb, and no man had ever been laid in. When they begged the body and took Him out there and put Him in that grave and left Him there, I want you to know, brother, that they were burying the Son of God, and brother, His flesh would not see corruption. The Bible said that in the book of Psalms. But I want you also to know, brother, they did not recognize, the Jews did not around them recognize that this was the Son of God. But the devil noticed something special about Him. It was not normal that they would put Him in a tomb and put a huge rock upon the surface or the entrance of that tomb. And they normally didn't put soldiers and keep a watch over the sepulcher where He was. That wasn't a normal thing. But the devil knew that this was something supernatural fixing to take place. Brother, the devil knew more about it than they did. I want to tell you, and I can just see him standing there day in and day out. Day number one, they're standing there. Day number two, they're standing there. And day number three, headed toward the rising of the Son of God. I just see the devil thinks he's got everything in charge. He thinks everything's all right. We got him locked up. They can't get him out. And all of a sudden, God rumbles the earth and shakes it a little bit. And the earthquake moved. Amen. And the angels moved all those stones away. And Jesus came out. Are you with me this morning? Somebody said, did He have to do that? No. Didn't have to do that. He could come through the wall. But then every skeptic and agnostic, amen, up and down the country said it didn't happen that way. God moved the stone not for Him to get out, but He moved the stone that I could get in. And I do praise God for that this morning. I do rejoice in the Lord. All these intellectual elites, amen, all these liberal thugs, amen, up and down the country, all of them, we call them liberal thinkers. They've always got their own idea about the resurrection of Christ. And brother, they count it foolishness today that you and I would believe that somebody would come from earth, or from heaven to earth, and die and go to the grave. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It may sound like a far-fetched story to you. It may sound like a far-fetched story to the world. But I do believe that one day God sent His own begotten Son, only begotten Son. And He was born of a virgin. Did you know the virgin-born Son of God? That's important to know that He's a virgin-born. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's not the virgin birth, brother, that brings us all the salvation we got. That's just part of it. I want you to know when He rose on that third day, brother, that's the capstone of everything. Brother, that's put God's stamp of approval, amen, on the gospel. And I'm glad this morning I can preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But this world looks at that and says, oh, do you really believe, preacher, that God sent His Son and He came into the womb of a virgin and was birthed into this world and He was a man walking upon the earth, the incarnate God? You really believe that, preacher? I absolutely believe it, amen, with all my heart. You said, preacher, you mean to tell me that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life? Amen. I say that for 33 and a half years. There was no sin or guile come from Him. I believe He was the perfect Son of God. And there was no sin whatsoever. I can give you a few records of that. Amen. I can give you some records that we won't get into it today. But I'm going to tell you, I can give you some records of that, proving it. Preacher, you believe that this morning that He went to the grave after He was crucified and He suffered and died and went to the grave, and on the third day you really believe that He come up out of the grave? Absolutely! Praise God. What, you don't have a problem with that? I don't. Somebody said, that's a figment of your imagination. That's just Baptistic doctrine. Or that's Methodist theology. Or that's Presbyterian thinking. Amen. You can put any kind of title you want to on it. But it's not, brother. It's Bible. It's Bible. I believe it. Amen. Not because the Baptists preach it. Some Baptists don't even preach that. They're scared to. They don't believe in a resurrected Christ. There'd be no reason, I'm going to show you that, there'd be no reason me standing here this morning had He not rose on that third day. Amen. I believe the greatest bombshell that's ever gone off in the face of Satan is when Jesus come out of the grave on the third day. Amen. And He looks over in the book of Revelation chapter 1. He said, I'm He, amen, who was dead but now liveth. And He said, devil, I've got the keys of your house in my hands. I hold the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. The devil don't even have the keys to his own house because he rose on the third day. Why would you want to run with him? Amen. I run with Jesus, not Satan. You hear me? I look in the Word of God and I see all these things. Now the only thing, and I believe this with all my heart, the only thing that separates Christianity from all the religions of the world is one little key factor. Just one little thing separates us. What is it? Our Christ, our Founder, our Savior rose from the dead with and on His own power. Amen. I read in the Word of God that Jesus, or not Jesus, but God as a whole from the Old Testament to the New. Jesus in the New did it. And the Jesus of the Old Testament did too. But they were recognized in as God. But I want to say this. As I look at this, I found several times that somebody was raised from the dead. You remember Elijah? He raised the widow woman's son. Amen. They buried Elisha and then later throwed somebody in Elisha's grave and he come out. Elisha done the same thing. I read in the New Testament where Jesus stopped him as he was going to bury somebody and brother, he brought him to life. I read where he done that two or three. He went to Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come jumping out and hopping out in grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go. You believe that, preacher? Yes, I believe that. Amen. But none of them raised themselves on their own power. But on that third day, thank God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, brother, came out on His own power. He gave Himself life, the God part, the divine part. Brother, raised Himself. He did not die. It was the man part, the flesh that died on the cross. But brother, I want you to know the God part rose from the dead. And He's alive forevermore. Thanks be unto God. For what a great truth that is. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. Praise God. He's not dying. He's not even sick. The Lord didn't have and never has had a headache. He's not on Tylenol. Amen. He don't have to take nerve pills. He's alive and well. Nothing wrong with Him. He's never even had a headache. He's God. You with me this morning? He's alive and well. He knows how to save and redeem. He knows how to change. Now look with me. In the Word of God, we find that there was one group of people. You see, the only difference between us and all other religions in Christianity, our Founder, our Savior is alive. Amen. Go out there and tell me about Confucius. Go dig up Muhammad. Amen. What about Mary Baker Eddy started some of these religions. What about Joseph Smith? Amen. Started the Mormons. Get that they're not around. They're dead. And I go on with all the religions. But I want to tell you, Christ is alive and alive forevermore. I've got book after book after book. Now some of them may have some books that they're the Founder and they're the Savior, but they're not. Amen. But I've got the book that's divinely inspired of God. Come down from above and it tells me, and thank God I believe it. Now, there was a group of people in the days of Christ that did not believe in a resurrection. You know who they were? In Jesus' day, there were the Herodians, those who followed after Herod. In the days of Jesus, there were the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were that crowd that could dot their I's and cross their T's, and they picked everybody and made sure everybody done just right. Amen. Sound like some Baptist to me. Amen. We all in this building know how to tell somebody else how to live, but we can't figure out how to live ourselves. I've seen that over and over and over. But we go a little bit further. There was a little group called the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. Amen. Brother Samuel straightened me out on that many years ago. He said the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection, so therefore they were said, you see. And if you don't believe in a resurrection, brother, this morning, you cannot have the victory in your heart and life to know that Jesus Christ came from earth, from heaven to earth, gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, died and rose on that third day and give us life, amen, through Him. Brother, to know that He rose gives me great honor, gives me great privilege, gives me a great opportunity this morning to stand before you and tell you that above everything in all religions in the world, Christ still lives and He's alive. You said, do you believe He rose? Yeah, I'll give you something else. I believe you went back to heaven. I believe you sat down at the right hand of the Father. I believe that's where He's at now. Amen. You believe all that? Yeah, I believe that. According to my Bible, He's going to come again. And the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. And if it happens before we get out of this building, it's in the same chapter. We may not get there to read it, but hey, if it happens, the Bible said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That means when Jesus comes, there's still going to be some alive on the earth. Amen. Now, time don't tarry. And if time, amen, keeps it going, somewhere down the road, you're going to push up some daisies where you want to or not. Some folks are scared to talk about dying. I'm not scared to talk about dying. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm either here or there, but I'm going to be with the Lord either way. Best is yet to come. It's going to be better. And the reason is because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to my heart. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. My sins have been forgiven. And thank God I've got a heavenly home that's beyond this world. Praise God. That excites me. Amen. Now, let's look at the Bible. We'll find some things here. Jesus preached that He would rise from the dead. I want to give you some Bible off of this. Jesus preached it. John chapter 2. Go to the Gospel of John. I want to give you three or four scriptures here and show you that Jesus even predicted that He would rise from the dead. John chapter 2, verse number 18. The Jews always wanted signs. I get excited sometimes talking about the signs of the times. And people talk about it and they'll say, show me some signs of the times. You start talking about the Lord coming and you start giving them a few signs and people get excited. They got that much Jewish in them, I guess. Jews look for the signs of the times. They wanted signs. We're not to live by signs. We're to live by faith. John chapter 2, verse 18 said, then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest Thou unto us, seeing that Thou dost these things? Now, He's been doing some things. He's done been into the temple. He's thrown over the money changers' tables and run them out of the house of God. Amen. Somebody said, boy, what would He do that for? He didn't want His house to be made a house of merchandise. You better hope He don't show up in some churches around here. He'll kick out half of us. Amen. Look here what He said in verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now look at these natural-minded men standing here. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Now in verse number 20 it said, then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Hey, what are you talking about? It took us 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to rear it up in 3 days? I'm seeing some saying, I don't think so. Look at verse number 21. But the Bible said, but He spake of the temple of His body. He was not talking about Herod's temple. It took 46 years to build. He's saying, destroy this body. Destroy this temple. And I'll raise it up in 3 days. He's saying, one of these days you're going to crucify Me. I'm going to the grave. But I'm going to rise on the third day. Amen. I appreciate what God is saying to us out of the Word of God. Now, would you turn over to John chapter 10, please? John chapter 10 and verse number 17. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus said, in the Word of the living God. He said, therefore doth my Father love me. Praise God for that. And then he goes on to say, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Somebody said they murdered Jesus. Another come along and said they killed the Lamb of God. But Jesus said they didn't do it. He said, I laid down my life. He said that I might take it up again, or take it again. Verse 18 said, no man taketh it from me. You couldn't kill me if you wanted to, is what he said. He said, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, did you know this morning I've got power to lay my life down? But I do not have the power to raise it up again. Anybody in this building can do that. Amen. Many folks today are committing suicide, and it seems because they've got power to take their life, but they do not have the power to raise it up again. But Jesus said, I've got the power to lay down my life, and I've got the power to raise it up again. And He did. Isn't that some marvelous truth? Now look at Matthew. Go over to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew's telling us something in chapter number 12. As we turn there to see the very words of the living God. And we'll look at chapter 12 and verse number 38. I believe it's 38. Yes, chapter 12 and verse number 38. There then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. They done it again in Matthew 24. Them Jews wanted signs. Ah, seeing is believing. That's what most people say. But most folks die and go to hell trying to see. But it's not by sight, it's by faith. And I'm going to heaven by faith. Verse 39, but He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That put them in their place, didn't it? Somebody said, Jesus was mild and calm and collected, and He's sweet. Amen. Glory to God. I got a sweet Jesus living in my heart. But He wasn't so kind to me when I was lost and undone. Amen. He shook me all over the place. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. He said, there's no sign but this given. He's saying again, I'm going to die. I'm going to be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, but I'm going to rise again. Now reckon why them disciples, when they come down there, got all alarmed and upset and disturbed, like it was some kind of surprise that Jesus rose from the dead. He warned them. He told them He's coming. I've read the Word of God. Now the devil hates the doctrine of the resurrection. Amen. I give you picture after picture in the Scriptures how that we can find types of the resurrection in even the Old Testament into the New Testament. But don't have the time. So I want to go back to our text in chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want us to look at verses 12 and 13 for a minute. And we're going to find out now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead. Now if He's preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? How in the world, if we preach that, Paul said we've been preaching, how in the world can you say it hasn't happened? That's not because of Paul just saying it, but it's because God has already given us the key to it. See, Paul had already come to them and told them what the gospel was in the first part of the 15th chapter, the first four verses. Paul tells us what the gospel is. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. Anything that's not that, it's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, next time I'm preaching about how you live, you're going to say, preacher, that ain't gospel. But that's the whole counsel of the gospel. Us preachers got it figured out. Amen. You're going to say, preacher, I don't see no gospel in that because you ain't preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. You're preaching on Christian living. Well, I'm going to tell you, the death, burial, and resurrection will make you live right. Amen. All right, now, we go down to something. He said, but, in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Then if there's no resurrection, if there be no resurrection, then Christ is still dead. He's not risen. In other words, you're serving a dead Christ. I'm glad my Christ is not dead. In other words, he's saying if he did not rise, you don't have no foundation to live. He said if he did not rise, you have no founder. I'm glad he's my founder and my foundation. Verse number 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Paul said, what I've been saying to you, all these other preachers have been preaching to you, he's saying it's been in vain. You know what that word vain means? It means useless. It means pointless. It means it's a place, it's hopeless. Paul said, if he did not rise, what I've been preaching to you is in vain. It's pointless. It's hopeless. It's useless. No reason me preach to you if Jesus didn't rise. Our preaching is in vain. I'm glad he rose. It's not in vain. That's right. Then he said this, and your faith is also vain. Paul said, you have believed in Christ. You have trusted Christ. Then you trusted Him and believed in vain. What's faith? Just simply believing God. I've summed it up to that. You can get all the answers you want to. But simply faith just means believing God, taking the Word of God at face value. Just believing God that He is. And He will do what He says He'll do. Faith. And He said, if He hadn't rise from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, your faith is vain. In other words, Paul is saying to us this morning, why in the world would you come and sit on the pews and listen to some man rant and rave and slobber and spit and move around and make a racket? Amen. If you didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead, what use would it be for him to preach? Why would you have a pastor? Why would we have preachers? Why would God call men into the ministry today if there was no resurrection of Jesus? It'd be pointless. Amen. I guess some folks understand that and think that the reason God wants us to come to church is to torture us. Some folks feel like they're tortured when they come to church, especially the preacher rears back and preaches. Amen. They look at them and say, what in the world is he hollering about? Can you just see that? I remember a time in my life when I looked at that and wondered. I scratched my head and said, what in the world are you hollering about? Preacher, why are you getting so excited? I don't do this getting food on the table. I don't do this around the house all the time. A ranting and a raving and a screaming. But the Bible says to lift up my voice and cry aloud, spare not. Why? Because there's a resurrection. Preaching is not in vain. Amen. Sometimes a Baptist preacher preaches and he thinks it's in vain. You preach and you preach and you preach and they keep on going in the same direction. You've raised kids and sometimes your teaching you feel like ain't no good. Amen. Some of you ladies about ready to sometimes pull a hair out of your head. You look back and say, I've talked to them and I've talked to them and I've talked to them and it just don't do no good. Daddies do the same thing. You get the board of correction out and sometimes you take care of business. And, of course, that's not popular in these days. It's not even legal and lawful. Most places. I'm glad I'm not raising kids anymore. And then guess what? You give them all this correction. Give them all this discipline. You look back and say, what in the world? They're so hard-headed. They just won't listen. What's going on? Everybody's seen rebellion. See, that's the way God sees us as His people. And we have to keep on doing it. Our preaching sometimes looks like it's in vain, but it's not. And when I preach to you, you just keep it going. But every once in a while, somebody will write me a letter. Somebody will walk up to my table where I'm eating, or sometimes in the church where I'm pastoring. Somebody will walk up and say, preacher, you've been an inspiration to me. You've helped me. You've strengthened me. You've encouraged me. And they'll write a little letter every once in a while. Say, I read that little tract. I read that little book and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some lady wrote a letter this week. I just got it yesterday. She wrote a letter. She's not in a prison. She's in a jail. She's in a jail. Now they call them detention centers, but she's in a little detention center. And she said, I need some help. She said, I've just been saved 2 weeks, and I know nothing about the Bible. Could you help me? And I'm going to write her back and tell her we'll put her on the mailing list if she wants it. You understand? And brother, every once in a while you get a little letter and you say, praise God. It's not in vain! It's not in vain! Every once in a while you see little boys and girls raised up. Sometimes you watch them go into the world of sin and get involved in things outside they shouldn't get involved in. And you see them throw their life away and ruin themselves. And you look at that and you say, oh, how terrible that is. And it looks like all my teaching and preaching's been in vain. But then all of a sudden, you're looking around and you see another and it's been raised up under the preaching of the Word of God, listening to all the discipline and the things that it's given to. And they went out into the world and next thing you know, they've got a Bible on their arm sitting at the house of God, raising their kids down at the house of God too as well. And you say, glory to God, it's not all been in vain. Our preaching would be in vain had He not rose. Secondly, our faith would be in vain. But verse number 15 said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. In other words, you did not rise, all of us, what I'm saying this morning, we'd be the same as liars. False witnesses is somebody don't tell the truth. Liars. We are false witnesses this morning if Jesus did not rise, but He rose from the dead. I've got the proof of it. Amen. You said you got proof of it? Have you been to the tomb? Yeah, I've been to the tomb. Were you sure it's the right tomb? I don't know where it's the right tomb or not. It sure fit the criteria. And we stood inside that empty tomb that morning and sung, He arose, He arose. Brother, I'm trying to tell you right now, it blessed my heart to do that. Somebody said, are you sure you're just, I don't know where I was at the same place where He laid down there, was buried for 3 days and three nights or not. But I had the consolation in my heart to know somewhere in that little town, somewhere in that little place, somewhere right there in that little area, I was close to the area if I wasn't standing at the right place. Brother, I was close to it where Jesus went to the grave and rose on that third day. And that was enough for me. I read in the Word of God already to you. He said He's going to. But I've got some proof in the Word of God. And you can preach on the resurrection a long time. So I just have to quit in a minute. I get tired. Amen. You tired already? Pray I get tired. Then we'll go home. Well, we was over there and seen that. And it blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. The Bible said Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days after He rose from the dead. There was many infallible proofs. Infallible. I mean, you can't get against. There was many infallible proofs that He rose. He come in where they were through the wall. Didn't have to come through the door. Many times He met them. He come one time and he had some Baptists on His disciple board. How do you know that, preacher? Because He come to church one day after His resurrection and part of them wasn't there. Amen. His name was Thomas. And they went out and said, Thomas, He came to see us. You ought to have been there. That's right. You ought to be here. And Thomas wasn't there that morning. He laid out. Probably had a camper somewhere. Had a trip. Hear me? So Thomas finally come. And he said, I won't believe it. You can tell me all you want to, but I won't believe it unless I see the nail prints in His hands. The scar in His side. And Jesus said, reach hither before your hand. And He showed him. What did He do? He realized then that that was the same Jesus. That's the difference. God recorded that. Two fellas walking down the street and the Lord comes up and walking with them on the Emmaus Road and they're walking down through there And they're saying, hey, guess what happened? They crucified the Savior. They crucified the Savior. He said, they did? Yeah. He had conversation with them. They got on down the end of the road, sat down, and they're going to have a meal. And they got down there, and the next thing you know, when Jesus broke bread and handed it, they saw the scars in His hands, and they realized then that they'd been walking with the Son of God who had rose. And Jews said, He's not the Messiah. He's not the Messiah. He's an imposter. He's not the King. We've been praying for years for a Messiah, but we reject Him. No, we'll not have Him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify this man. He's an imposter. They crucified Him. Said, let His blood be on us and our children. And that's why the Jews scattered today. That's why God's dealing with us old Gentiles. God's put the Jew on the sideline. He will one day again deal with them when He calls us Gentiles out. Romans 11:25. Guess what? One of these days Jesus is going to come in the clouds to receive the saints of God. The Jews are not going to accept Him when He comes in the clouds because He's just coming for His bride, the church. But later in the book of Revelation, He's coming back. And when He comes back to this earth to set up His kingdom with His people, they're going to look at Him. Them Jews are going to look Him in the eye and say, Master, where did you get them scars in your hands? Zechariah tells us about that. He said, I got these in the house of my friends. I came to you one time. You refused me. You crucified me. I went to the grave and arose, and I've been working with the Gentiles. You rejected me, but yet now I'm dealing with you again. And they're going to recognize. There's many proofs that He rose from the dead. But the greatest proof I can give you this morning is not all this that I've done read and preached to you. One day, as an old boy sitting on the end of the pew, the Holy Ghost come down and knocked on my heart's door and said, you're lost and undone. I'm preaching to you. I got up out of my seat, went down the aisle, and I didn't know how to pray. But that same Holy God that rose from the dead, amen, moved into my heart, kicked out the devil and changed my life. And I've been living under and by and through the power of a resurrected Christ for all these many years. Now you say, what makes you know? I know. When as big a thing as God moves down into a little old body like yours and mine, and you not know it, there's something wrong with your knower. Amen? A big God moved down into you, you're going to know He's there. I guarantee you, if I moved into your house tonight, you'd know I was there. After about three meals, you know I was there. Amen. And brother, when Christ moves into our heart, we know He's there. You said, preacher, I don't know where He's there or not. I'd be checking up. I could just preach on and preach on and preach on. Well, let me give you this. The outline, we'll go home. He said, we'd be liars. Another thing, our faith would be vain. Our foundation would be not real. And in verse number 17, we'd still be in our sins, so we wouldn't have no forgiveness. My sins are gone this morning. And then in verse 18, He said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Jesus or in Christ are perished. In other words, all your friends and loved ones and family members that you've buried, you're never going to see them again because they died in vain. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all those family members and friends, church members, that I've preached funerals of. And I've told the family members, if you want to see them again, you're going to have to get right with God. And all of them, I said, Jesus is coming back, and He's going to bring the souls of them with Him. All of them that I told them that they had hope in Christ to see them again, it means I'm a false witness and I've lied to them, and they'll not see them again. But I'm glad, thank God, He rose. Because He rose, we'll rise also. Praise be unto God. I appreciate the Word of God this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I believe in the resurrection. Did you know the resurrection is the crown of the Word of God up to this point in life? It's not the crown at the end, just as I am, is a good song. It's not the crown at the end. The next, I'm thinking about it, the crown of the Bible up to this point in time is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The capstone of our preaching right now is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The climax of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter's not a holiday. It's a holy day. It's not a time to celebrate rabbits and chickens and eggs and Easter baskets. It's a time to recognize that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and He's alive forevermore. Let's stand.